It's been a while. It's been a couple of months. Yours truly has gone through a lot of different things, with a lot of communication problems and whatnot that I will not necessarily share fully, but nonetheless, we all go through them. We all have to bounce back, and yours truly is starting to bounce back. Welcome back to another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. It's August. It's preseason time. Time flies when you're having fun. The last time we were on the show, we had Nick Buenavides, a.k.a. Football by Nico, on our show. And guess who's back with us? He is back. Back again. Nico's back. Tell a friend. Nick Buenavides, a.k.a. Football by Nico, is back with us. Welcome back to the show, Nico.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to be back.
Hopefully you liked the little M&M transition into getting you onto the show because, well, Matt Stafford, Detroit, L.A., that's a reason why we're back here. So I guess that's kind of what we're going to start with for this preseason week one preview. Despite our teams playing different teams, it's a little bit of a twist on the show. Matt Stafford is now a Super Bowl champion. We talked about what the Rams need to do in the offseason, but Matthew Stafford is going through some elbow pain. Give us more about it if you can.
Yeah, so from what I've heard, just from, you know, like on Twitter, I wasn't able to make it down to training camp this year, but from what I heard, it was just like, you know, some tendonitis, some, you know, elbow kind of pain. And, you know, he was throwing, I believe, last couple of days in 11-on-11. But overall, it's just something that's kind of been just like bugging him.
Gotcha. Yeah. And Sean McVay had said it best. I had seen he is no young man. He's gone through a lot of war wounds in his career, especially in Detroit. And so something like this is bound to happen to an older quarterback. But nonetheless, he's got what he really didn't have in Detroit. And that was not necessarily a Super Bowl ring, which he has that. But he also has a solid offensive line, and he had that last year, despite the interceptions. I mean, the offensive line has backed him up, I would believe.
Yeah, I don't think he had that bad of an offensive line in Detroit either. I mean, I would argue maybe that the Rams and offensive line and the Lions offensive line for the last couple of years have been pretty equal. I mean, you got Rob Havenstein, Andrew Whitworth last year. Those were two guys great on the edge. But then in Detroit, you know, you got Taylor Decker, you got Frank Ragnow. And they Sewell, I mean, that's pretty good, I think.
Yes, and that's another thing is Detroit's offensive line has improved, and Stafford saw the very tail end of it. But because they were deciding to go with a rebuild with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, Stafford was traded to the Rams, of course, for draft picks that they have stockpiled to get Jameson Williams and Aiden Hutchinson, who I honestly thought he did pretty well at Family Day. I watched a little bit. Family Day this year was a little bit different than past years at Lions training camp. Usually, Family Day is more of a simulated game, per se, for the Lions. But this year was more of practice on each side of the ball. So, Goff got some work. He did okay. Blau got some work. He wasn't all that. He basically gave you the reason that Jared Goff was indeed your quarterback. And I thought Aiden Hutchinson made a couple of nice plays. And I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely unimpressed to 10 thinking, oh my God, Super Bowl, I would give that team about a 5.5. I mean, all right, I'm not completely unimpressed, but I'm not sitting here thinking, wow, they're going to win 11 games either. So my prediction when we last left off of around 6 to 8 wins seems about right at this point. We'll see what happens with the rest of their training camp. So tell us a little report from Rams training camp, if you can.
Yeah, so from Rams training camp, what I've been hearing is, you know, some of the rookie corners are doing really well. You know, Les Snead went in the offseason. He said, we're going to go improve the secondary. Drafted a lot of corners. You know, they traded for Troy Hill. And they're trying to get Jalen Ramsey some help back there. And just from reports, you know, Matthew Stafford, like you said, with his tendonitis, him, Cooper Kupp, and Van Jefferson has been out. So they've just been trying to, you know, find that connection between Stafford and Allen Robinson as well. And just overall, pretty average camp, nothing too exciting, you know.
Yeah, and at this point, especially with having a Super Bowl ring, on your finger, Sean McVay is not going to necessarily want to play all his cards at training camp because, well, even at Lions Family Day, there was a big sign that said, please help us and not our opponents. Do not videotape this training camp. However, you may take pictures.
Yeah, I mean, they actually closed off. Today was supposed to be their last practice in person with fans, but they actually closed it off today and just changed it to a walkthrough. Don't know why, but maybe it's just because it's so hot down here.
Yeah, and that's been the thing, a heat wave around most of the nation, honestly. It was pretty ironic when I was in Boston in June. I had actually hit the more cooler period while the Midwest, where I'm at, the Thumb of Michigan, was going through its worst heat wave. So I actually avoided the worst of the heat wave there. Now it's kind of the opposite. Now Michigan is getting in around 70s and 80s. Boston is suffering the heat wave. And how hot is it right now in Southern California?
We're sitting around, you know, the triple digits in the afternoon and coming down to like an 80 in the evening.
80 is not sleeping weather. That is, I need to find a way to get to some air conditioning, and if I'm not there already, weather around my neck of the woods.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, when you're out there in the pads, especially I'm sure the linemen in the, you know, the guarding caps as well, that's not fun.
No, and thankfully, kind of cycling into the job I have right now covering sports in Michigan Stum, I won't, because of my own personal podcast, I can't show too many cards, but in practices, it's kind of been the same, where they haven't gotten to pads yet, but they're wearing the guarding caps, and some offenses are getting some work, and it's kind of the same. It's just about 20 degrees cooler than it is in Southern California, and we have humidity here, unthankfully.
Yeah, something that I never really saw anywhere on the internet was, did the guarding caps get implemented because of the new helmet rule, or are they just the thing every team got just because?
Probably something every team got just because. Again, it's more of the player safety initiative. We've been seeing it for years, how different moves and different ways of tackling and different formations have been banned because of this player safety initiative. So I'm guessing it's just another facet of that.
Yeah, for sure. And then just moving on, like you said, to preseason previews. Let's start off with the Detroit Lions versus the Falcons. Now, I don't know about the Lions. I know that you're not going to see Matthew Stafford or anyone that really starts on the Rams. Would that be the case for Dan Campbell as well?
What I heard last I had checked, you are probably going to see the starters play one quarter at most. As of right now, Detroit does not have anybody designated on their injury list, but of course, because of the preseason, you're not going to see a lot of one cards shown or two top-tier players in for a long amount of time. Atlanta is a one-point favorite as of right now, but who cares about actual preseason final scores except if you're betting them? Really, the key in this first game is to, one, see everybody get their feet wet in some aspect and not get hurt. Two, have a look at what your second and third string is going to look like with game action. And three, practice your two-minute drill situations because you will actually have on-field time and on-field game timing to practice these situations. So it's really not much of who wins, who loses. It's get your feet wet, see what your lower-tiered players are going to look like, practice the two-minute drill. I'm sure that those are going to be keys to Rams-Chargers as well on both sides.
Yeah, I feel the same way about preseason. I mean, you're going to want, especially the way that the Rams kind of run their preseason offense and defense, you know, you're going to want to, it's almost like an audition, you know, I say, for the players that, you know, are on the roster bubble. I think that's what they like to do in terms of how they evaluate the players, kind of see how they play in the preseason. I think that's a big reason why Bryce Perkins made it onto the roster last year, because he had such a great preseason with the Rams. And I think that you're going to want to see, like you said, you know, you're going to want to see those lower tier players, and you're also going to want to get the starters, you know, kind of used to playing again for real.
Yeah, and really that's going to be more of the case next week as far as the starters getting a lot of playing time. Right now in week one, it's just more of getting their feet wet. But yes, they're going to want some playing time, just how much is enough. According to Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, and the Lions staff, you're going to see probably about one quarter. What does Les Snead, Sean McVay, and the Rams staff say?
They usually don't play anybody. I mean, they usually just start like the second or third string offense and defense, which is kind of starting to become the norm as, you know, more Sean McVay coaches kind of get poached from the Rams as well, too. So I'm sure the Vikings will be doing the same. The Bengals will be doing the same. You know, all those kind of guys.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So as far as actual game predictions, I will go ahead and throw out a prediction so that if anybody desires to bet this game, which I would only look at over under, honestly, in certain situations like this, I will actually look at the DraftKings Sportsbook and give you a line on this game. Of course, I got to log in real fast. And NFL preseason. Atlanta Falcons, Detroit Lions, the over-under right now is 35. Last season, preseason unders were about two-thirds hit. So do think about that when you go to bet these games over the weekend. On that total, I would honestly go with the under on 35. Anything really above 32.5 really is something to look at per se and go under on. The over-under on Rams-Chargers is 30. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, even if you look at the teams last year, they played the Chargers last year in preseason. That went for 18, so I totally agree with you taking the under. If I were to bet on preseason, which I wouldn't recommend, even if you want to scratch that betting itch, wouldn't want to do it this way.
Yeah, anytime you're going to – yeah, preseason, if you're going to bet, I would say – I think we would both agree with this – only go on the over-under because points scored – is something that, whether or not the team cares, is something that can be tracked. Whether or not the team wins, really neither side cares. I mean, if you have a two-minute situation to where you're down by one score, go ahead and go for the win if feasible. But let's say you have 5 seconds to go and you're down five, you're on your own five-yard line. It's not the regular season. You're most likely not going to try to win that game because why would you risk a huge injury? Let's, per se, for example, let's say the Rams and Bucks are playing a preseason game week two and it was down to 5 seconds left on your own five-yard line. You have Cooper Kupp out there and you'd say he tears his ACL on that last play. Now McVay is going to look like a doofus because he played a number one guy, which he would never do, but let's say it happens over a preseason play. So basically what I'm trying to say is, and that might get misconstrued in the media, what he's saying that is, people or teams don't necessarily care about the outcome of this game. They care about how each individual unit has played. So when it comes to betting, only bet point totals if you're going to bet.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of blew the man away there with some of the content I just gave you. So as far as over the rest of this preseason goes, what are you looking to get more out of your first string and then your lower tier players?
Yeah, so like I kind of said already, we're going over again. Kind of like an audition for those roster bubble players, and I think you're going to see maybe starting probably Darrell Henderson or Jake Funk is going to start at running back. I don't think Kyron Williams is 100% ready yet. I know he started practicing, I believe, this week, so I don't know if he'll be ready for the first week of preseason. If he is, I would probably want to see him and Jake Funk. Those aren't the, you know, two crucial guys, but when you go look at last year when the Rams lost almost like their entire running back roster and were kind of forced to trade for Sony Michel, then that's what you want to look for, you know, who can back up Cam Akers or Darrell Henderson if one of them gets hurt. And then you're looking at the wide receivers, definitely want to see more of Tutu. Everybody kind of criticized that pick, and then next pick, was Creed Humphrey, and he turned into, you know, almost an all pro in his first year, center. And then also you want to see kind of some of the rookies, you know, you want to see Logan Bruss, you want to see all of the rookie corners, just kind of how they perform, who's, you know, some of the standout players, and who are some of the players that are on the roster bubble, you know.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to mention, and I will now, is that I at least feel that Darrell Henderson is one of the most underrated running backs in the entire league. I think he is way underused in the Rams roster. However, he also has been a victim of the injury bug, and I'm certain that Sean McVay has been thinking about that when he tries to put in Darrell Henderson.
Oh, for sure. I don't think he's ever played a full season healthy, which is why they kind of have to have that running back depth, which is, I think, something is every team should do something like that. You know, running backs are some of the most, like, you know, injured positions because they're constantly, you know, getting touches, getting hit, blocking. So they're kind of, you know, taking lots of snaps, and that's why they get hurt most of the time.
Yeah, and it brings me to another point. I hung out with some of my Toledo buddies over the weekend, and they were talking about how Kareem Hunt wanted out of Cleveland, and it was because he wanted a number one running back position. Well, in today's NFL, and even in yesterday's NFL, the running back gets a lot of touches and he gets a lot of pounding, which means he is not going to have as long of a career as other position players. So when you have the running back tandem, that helps both running backs in the long run sustain longer careers. And even though you're bound to get pounded at some point in your career, that at least extends it. For the Rams, you have Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson. Now both aren't necessarily healthy at exactly the same time, so it hasn't completely worked out, but you still have a ring on your finger. The Lions are far from it.
Yeah, the Lions don't have a bad duo as well. You know, you got DeAndre Swift, you got Jamal Williams. So I think that, you know, as the NFL kind of progresses, you're going to see more committees. It might not be, you know, best for fantasy football purposes or, you know, any kind of thing like that, but for your teams, it's definitely something that teams are going to start doing more and more of.
Yes, and Jamal Williams is a good asset to this lineup. DeAndre Swift, if healthy, catches a lot of passes out of the backfield. So Detroit has got a fairly good nucleus in place. Dan Campbell is a very fiery and passionate coach that the guys love playing for, which is something we haven't seen in Detroit in quite a few years. Jim Caldwell, the guys sort of loved playing for, but he was a little too stoic. Matt Patricia was too fiery and the players didn't like playing for him. Now Dan Campbell hopefully has that sort of mix of both those personalities to where the guys will love playing for him, and of course you will hopefully see the results on the field. So back to your running back tandem there. Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. So that's a good running back tandem. If the offensive line can stay healthy, which it sometimes has had a hard time of doing in the last couple of years, that can be a real good tandem. As far as your wide receivers, now there is where the Lions suffered a lot of problems. Your leading wide receiver was, if it wasn't TJ Hawkinson, it was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Who in the hell has heard of Amon-Ra St. Brown before this year? Not I, said the Michigan fan. Not most said USC fans either. Amon-Ra St. Brown came out of the woodworks and did well for this Lions team over the last five games. Now, is he somebody that I'm going to build my franchise around? Absolutely not. But he is definitely a good number two wide receiver. Now, hopefully Hawkinson can stay healthy as well and they can get another couple of good wide receivers in there. Jamison Williams, I know he's coming off of, I believe, an ACL tear, so that could get tricky. But hopefully Trinity Benson, Khalif Raymond will do something at least. And hopefully we will be a lot better in the wide receiver core. Rams wide receiver core. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you got Cooper Kupp, you got Van Jefferson, and maybe Odell's returning, maybe not. I don't think we'll know until, you know, he fully, like, regains all his strength in his knee again. So we'll have to see. Maybe he comes back in the playoffs. Maybe he goes to Buffalo even. I don't know. You saw that Von Miller post calling him the Buffalo, just like he did with the Rams. And I think probably the most underappreciated offseason addition, Allen Robinson. Now, many people were like amazed about how good Allen Robinson was in training camp. I don't understand that because he was a number one wide receiver on the Bears for like 3 or 4 years. And when you have a number one wide receiver with a number one wide receiver on the Rams, like that's just a great duo.
Yeah, and Allen Robinson is one of the more underrated receivers in the league. And this actually, kind of pivoting off of your point there, this actually opens up the door for Anthony Miller if he is to stay healthy in Chicago as well as Cole Kmet. But that is if they can get any sort of offense going. As far as Allen Robinson goes, he is going to be sneaky good for the Rams because I had seen it in Chicago despite the lack of offense. Anytime Allen Robinson got his hand on the ball, it was a very good touch. So another sneaky underrated wide receiver in this league that Matthew Stafford helped out with a lot is Van Jefferson. He helped a lot of people in the Sunday night, Monday night DFS boards. Van Jefferson, he's good for at least a 20-yard pass from Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and then just another thing about Allen Robinson. Sure. He's kind of been the Matthew Stafford so-called of quarterbacks, you know. Never had the team around him. Then he joins the Rams. I mean, I think you might see a Matthew Stafford to the Rams type breakout season for him.
Yeah, in a way, I'm sort of predicting that. I never necessarily said it like that, but that's a good point. Definitely where Allen Robinson, he was only on one very successful team, and that was the 2017 Jags that, because of their defense, should have went to the Super Bowl, but Tom Brady happened, and the Tom Brady fourth quarter happened, and that ended that sort of hunt. But on an elite team like the Rams, was Allen Robinson is going to have not only going to have a lot of touches, but he could be going for a lot of yards, and that's going to really help that Rams core. Come January, hopefully that will be the case. So, I guess any other topics that could be on your mind as of now in the NFL?
Yeah, just a little bit more about the Rams.
Go right ahead.
I think we want to talk a little bit about Bobby Wagner, because Bobby Wagner, another big off-season addition for them.
The NFL free agency can sometimes have my mind thinking, okay, who plays where? That was the case with Bobby Wagner. Joining the Rams after Von Miller goes to Buffalo is almost like a plug-and-place replacement. Bobby Wagner was an elite linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks during and after the Legion of Boom. In fact, Bobby Wagner kept that Seahawk defense relevant after the LOB. I had him as an IDP in a couple years in my fantasy leagues, and he paid dividends for sure. So on this Rams defense, and he has the full preseason to adapt to, not Wade Phillips. Is it Wade Phillips, or who's your defensive coordinator again?
Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris, that's right. Raheem Morris's schemes. He has a full preseason to adapt to Raheem Morris's schemes. And with that, he can very well become the same linebacker, if not a better linebacker, than he was in Seattle. I almost compare it to golf. And have you been a golfer at all?
Yeah.
Whenever you're playing with three other guys that play well on the golf course, it in a way psychologically helps you play better on the golf course. When you play with three other bad guys on the golf course, it psychologically puts you in kind of a hole. And you don't score as well because you're playing with three guys that just can't get it right. This is the case kind of for Bobby Wagner. He kind of fell off the last couple of years because that defense has just gone down and down. I'm not very well convinced that Ken Norton Jr. is that good of a defensive coordinator anyway. With Bobby Wagner going to the Rams, you have that psychological effect like you have in golf, where he is going to be motivated to play better because of the guys around him. So I think you could very well see a better Bobby Wagner coming out of this for sure.
I mean, how much better are you going to get with Bobby Wagner, though?
That's the thing. While I say he's gone down, he's Bobby Wagner. So, I mean, on a scale from 1 to 10, he was at 10. He was at probably about 7.5, 8. That's still pretty elite, if you ask me.
Yeah, he still made the Pro Bowl last year. Career high in tackles last year, 107. Obviously, the extra game was added. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But still one of the, like, highest career high in tackles you're going to find in his – the closest you'll find is 167, 159. Last year, 170. So he's still getting that usage. He's not, you know, taking limited snaps. He played, you know, most of the Seahawks defensive snaps last year too. So I don't really want to hear from anybody that he's, you know, old and washed and not playing as much.
That's another thing is that unfortunately some people are calling him that, but if once he goes to this team, I mean, on the old and washed argument, look at Andrew Whitworth, 42 years old. Played offensive line for most of the entire season and didn't miss a beat. Old and wash, more like revitalized. And that's what you're going to see with Bobby Wagner.
For sure.
So with that said, at this point, anything else that you may have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
I think that's going to do it for this time. Thank you so much for having me on. Had a great time.
Absolutely. We get along pretty well, and I will freely admit on the air that both times we have recorded on the show, we pretty much winged it. I never really had much of a set schedule as far as what we were talking about, but sometimes the better podcasts can be those that you just wing it. In fact, at the start of COVID, I had a show with Joey Bag of Donuts on Twitter. We just shot the head for about an hour or so, and we talked about Seinfeld and Friends and a lot of different other topics. So anytime you get one of those situations can be a blessing in disguise. So thanks again, Nico, for coming on the show. We are back in action. Week 2 preseason stuff coming next week. Lions-Colts for yours truly. And as far as the Rams go, they are playing the not the Chargers again. Fill me in.
The Rams are going to be playing the Texans week 2, and then a Super Bowl rematch in week 3 of preseason.
All right, Super Bowl rematch with the Bengals, but because it's week 3 of the preseason, you will see this many guys on that Super Bowl roster playing on each side. For those that are listening on audio, I flashed a zero sign. Absolutely zero. He is Nick Buenavides, a.k.a. Football by Nico, and this has been the Tom Green Podcast.